Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Let's have a nice cup of TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray.
Joining us on the line now is Vicky Larson. She's a longtime award-winning journalist and author of Not Too Old for That and the co-author of The New I Do. Her latest book, Latitude, How You Can Make a Live Apart Together Relationship Work, asks if the secret to stronger long-term relationships is spending a healthy amount of time apart. Welcome to the show, Vicky.
Well, I'm so delighted to be here talking to you today, Hannah. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. It's great to have you with us. So this is really interesting, this idea of a kind of living apart together relationship. How do you explain it?
Well, the classic definition, which was coined in the 1990s, I believe, is that three things have to happen. A couple is in a committed relationship. Other people see them in a committed relationship and they don't share the same living space. But I didn't, that seemed a little limited for my book. I wanted to be a little bit more inclusive. So I am also including people who maybe sleep in separate bedrooms, have separate parts of the home, upstairs, downstairs, or on the same floor, and people who maybe live in a duplex kind of situation. So they're kind of sharing a roof, but they still have separate spaces.
Mm. And I mean, it's quite a interesting and I guess controversial subject. There'll be some people that will say, oh my goodness, no way. Not in a million years would I want to be separate. That's just weird. Why would I want to sleep in a different bed to my partner? All that kind of stuff. And then there'll be people who are obviously doing these kinds of relationship who are flying the flag going, no, this really works. Trust me. So let's look at kind of, I mean, there's pros and cons, I guess. What are the pros of these kinds of relationships?
Well, yes, it is controversial for people who just don't understand, like, why wouldn't you want to live with your loved one? So the pros are, you know, you have to work a little bit harder at the relationship and you can't be complacent and take your partner for granted, as often happens when you are sharing the same space. You idealize your partner a little bit more. That sounds a little weird, like, oh, you're only seeing them through rose-colored glasses. But the thing is, when you idealize them, you think about all of the things about them that you love and you miss them. Whereas often when you're sharing the same space, you're seeing all the things about them that annoy you, like the toothpaste cap is off or the toilet paper is on the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about. So you do have to work harder and you have to communicate better. It really works well for people who just need a certain amount of space or freedom, whether it's because that's their personal desire, or for some people who, you know, are neurodiverse or have mental health challenges that make living with someone hard. And to be very clear, I am not saying that this is for everyone. It's really not. If you, you know, have attachment issues or are jealous or, you know, or have trust issues, it's not going to work. It's not going to work if both people aren't the same page about it. Like, yeah. You know, they want it. And I'm not saying it's better than. It's just, it's an option for those people for whom might offer the best of being in a committed relationship, but also allowing a certain amount of autonomy that some people want.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things you touched on there, which I think is a big thing, is the whole domesticity that happens when you're living with someone that maybe isn't there if you're not living together or sharing the same living space. You know, the whole idea of them leaving their clothes on the floor, them not washing up, and, you know, you feeling like you're doing all the work and they're not, and all those kind of niggly things that can so easily happen in I'm sure, most relationships. relationships and marriages. If you're not living together, all those things are less likely to be there. And you're kind of choosing when you get together. You're getting together because you want to. You're seeing each other because you want to. And I guess the spark is, or the flame is much, much more likely to be kept alive in that situation.
Yes, it's actually true. And I'm not saying this just because I think it. I mean, the research does show that it does, you know, despite what we're always told about women, that they lose their interest in sex. They don't lose their interest in sex per se. They lose interest in sex with a long-term partner. And often, so it's a partner problem, not a sexual problem. And you do have to be creative if you can't be with your partner sexually all the time. And a lot of people do. They're challenged, you know, to keep the intimacy going. And so when you work harder at something, you appreciate it much more when you are together. And you're right. When you are seeing your partner with whom you don't live, it's intentional. Like you are creating your time together, of what you want to do, how you want to spend that time. Where, you know, often when you're living with someone, you're sharing the same space, but you're not even necessarily engaging.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting with the sex side of things, because I think a lot of people that don't understand this type of relationship or don't want to consider this type of relationship would imagine that the sex and the intimacy is likely to be less if you're not living together. But the way you've just described it, it could easily be the opposite, couldn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, we've all seen all these articles in recent years about how people aren't having sex or the rise of sexless marriages. Well, there's many more people who are living together than living apart. So obviously the people who are sexless are the ones who are living together, not necessarily the ones living apart.
Yeah, definitely. And what about things like, I don't know, legal concerns, you know, if you're married and what's mine is yours and all that kind of stuff. If you live apart, I guess you'd need to, I don't know, get more, I don't know, get a lawyer on it, would you? Does it make things complicated?
Well, it's really no, it's not really much different than if you're living together. I mean, if you have two separate houses that you've bought together, then obviously you're going to want to, you know, have that addressed. But it very often is a popular lifestyle choice for people who already have their own places. And so maybe they're not investing things together. There's some shared money thing. The legal thing is really more in at least in the States on whether you're married or not, because in the United States, when you get married, you get a lot of perks and privileges from the government. So that's a whole different thing. But, you know, what you might want to do if you are living apart and you're aging apart is to say, well, do we want to create a will? Do we want to create, you know, do I want to give my partner, you know, inheritance, or do I want to give my partner, you know, this and that? And, but the thing is, there are no hard and fast rules, because people have to make this lifestyle up as they go. And if they want to put legal protections in, they can. But that's really a choice. There's nothing really that is saying you should do this or should not do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I'm just thinking about some of the day-to-day practicalities, and this depends on what people are used to and what they want to get used to. The idea of, you know, having all the meals every day, whether you're automatically going to be eating together or whether you eat alone unless someone suggests that you eat together. The idea of, I don't know, going to work, sharing the same car, depending on how far you live apart, all that kind of thing, that you'd need to sort all that out, make sure you're both on the same page with it all, I guess.
Well, yeah, very important is how far that you you are from your partner. So I, one of the women I interviewed, she lives here on the West Coast as I do, and her partner lives in Maine. So there's this,
wow. There's,
yeah. So what, you know, she'll fly to Maine and spend some time there, and then she'll come back here to California and have time alone, and then he'll fly here. So that's how they make it work. But then there's a couple I know who live in Montreal, and they live very close to each other. They spend every night together, and then they go to their separate places. So a lot depends on how close you are to your partner. I certainly wouldn't want to be on a different coast than my partner, but I could handle a different city. I mean, you know, a few hours away is not a problem for me, but then you would not necessarily be spending that everyday time. But, you know, there's so many ways to communicate nowadays, whether it's, you know, texting or sexting or FaceTime or Zoom with your partner, that you don't, the physical presence may not matter as much as if you're getting enough closeness, if you feel enough closeness to your partner with the way it is. And that's actually, according to the research, more important than actually being physically close. It's like, how do you feel close to your partner?
Yeah, I mean, I just suddenly remembered the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And the idea that if you're apart from your partner for any length of time, whether it's 24 hours, a weekend, a week or a month, you'd hope that in that time, you know, you have the chance to miss each other, and you're really looking forward to seeing each other and being together. Whereas if you're obviously living with someone, you don't really experience those feelings. You know, you're not necessarily going to miss them whilst you're going to work for the day. And so maybe I can see the kind of healthiness in having the chance to miss each other a bit.
Well, yeah, it actually, you know, the research does say that absence does make the heart grow fond. And, you know, what we saw in the past few years with the pandemic, if you were, you know, lucky enough to be able to work from home, do remote work, not everybody was able to do that, but some couples were able to do that. What they discovered was that 24/7 with a loved one is hard, really, really hard. And then for other people who maybe had to separate themselves from their loved ones, maybe because they were frontline workers and they were surrounded by COVID all the time and did not want to bring that home and infect their partners, or they themselves got COVID and had to isolate, right? We were isolating for like a week, week and a half, 2 weeks. Some of the people who kind of experienced a little bit of that separation realized, like, oh, okay, I don't like being sick, but I sure do like having the bed to myself and having a little bit of time to just breathe. And I want to say that overwhelmingly, the people who are kind of driving this lifestyle choice are women. And I think any woman listening might understand the kind of emotional and physical labor and caregiving that women often take on and that society expects women to do. And for a lot of women who are either divorced or widowed later in life, like in their 60s and later, they've been there, done that, and they don't necessarily want to do that again. Like, they would like to be with a partner when they want to be with a partner on their own terms and not have to do the gendered stuff that generally comes with being a woman. And so a lot of women prefer this lifestyle later in life because it's a way to, quote unquote, undo gender.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
And women often don't give themselves the space in their romantic relationships that they really need and deserve, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, once you kind of get used to space or experience it, even as you say, during the pandemic, it can make you realize how good it can be for your mental health. You know, time alone, instead of being so kind of dependent or codependent on somebody else, having that time on your own just to read, watch what you want on television, go for a walk, do whatever it might be without someone kind of there can be hugely beneficial, can't it?
Yes, it can. And you know what, you know, people maybe have this belief that, oh, if you're not living with your romantic partner, you're living alone. That's not necessarily true. I know a woman, her partner lives out in the woods on the central coast of California, and she lives in Northern California. And he has a tiny little place that he built by himself. That's what he loves. But she didn't want to live by herself. So she lives in a co-housing situation. So she lives with three other women in their 50s and 60s. And so that's how she's making it work. So, you know, you can be as creative as you want to be to allow the amount of space that you might need or want as a partner. And, you know, one woman I include in my book, when her marriage seemed trying, she bought a condo about, I think, a few miles away from her husband. And she said this was an investment in her marriage. And they have a much better marriage now because they kind of date each other, you know? And so it, again, it's not for everybody, but people are being very creative about it and being very intentional about it. And that's when it works the best.
Yeah. I've had a message from one of our listeners, Sam, who's come up with an interesting point saying maybe absence makes the heart grow fonder when you're forced to stay apart, not when you choose to stay apart.
Well, I would say no, although that could be a good point. You know, it's something we have to wrap our head around because we all are fine with people, let's say, who are long haul truckers and they're away from home for weeks at a time, or we're comfortable with like pilots and flight attendants who maybe are doing international travel and they're away from home for a while. We're okay with people who are in the military who might be deployed overseas for years away from their family. So when people choose careers that keep them from their family, we seem to understand that because we know that they're going to get back together with their loved one. But we have a harder time wrapping our head about people who are choosing this because that works for them, but they are going to be back with their loved one again, just in a different way. So the form of your romantic relationship doesn't matter as much as who the people are in it and what they want from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so because it is not that common. And I, you know, part of the reason why I wrote the book, in addition to helping people understand the pros and cons of it, is a way to normalize it. Because, you know, I quote some therapists in the book who said some people are just, you know, not really good at having what we think a relationship, quote unquote, looks like. And they think there's something wrong with them that they can't make it work, when the reality is more likely that for those people, it's the structure that doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's something to really consider, whether it's something that you want to do yourself or you experience someone doing it. It's like, well, okay, that living together structure doesn't work for that couple. It doesn't mean that it's wrong or bad. Or that they're not as committed or not as loving, you know. It just takes a little bit more of an open-minded approach to how and why this could work for some people, even if we don't choose that for ourselves.
It must be harder, though, for couples to, like, it's one thing if you've just got together and you just decide to never live together and you make mm-hmm. a long-term relationship work never living together. I imagine it must be a different thing in terms of the stigma and the judgment from other people, which as soon as I'm saying that, I kind of think, well, who cares what people think? But at the same time, we do care what people think, let's be honest. So a couple that have been living together, married or not, I guess doesn't necessarily matter, but if you've been living together for a certain number of years and then you decide to live apart, people will go, what are you doing? Oh, are you splitting up? And, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. They'll automatically assume that something has gone wrong in the relationship if you stop living together, won't they?
Oh, yes, that's true. And actually, even if you sleep in separate bedrooms, they think something's wrong, yeah. You know, because we're still really stuck. It like it looks like this. And we like have a hard time thinking about other ways to make it work. Yeah, the conversation that you will have if you're just meeting someone and don't want to live with someone is a very different one that you're going to have with someone you have been living with, whether married or not, and, you know, now want to live apart. And I have a whole section on that in my book of how to bring it up with a loved one. And, you know, there must be kindness, and there, it must be coming from a place of love. It must be coming from a place where you say what is not working for you. And, you know, the thing is, if it comes to a point, and I'm not saying it always comes to a point of like almost divorce, but if it comes to a point of almost divorcing, divorcing is expensive, and it's a big, just, you know, rupture in a family, no matter whether they have kids or not, or how old the kids are. It's expensive and it's messy, and you're going to have to live in separate places anyway. So if it comes to that point, to have a conversation with your partner and say, this isn't working, maybe living separately and being intentional about when we're together is something we can try. And maybe you want to do that part-time to just see how that is, or like give it a time frame, or maybe as the woman did, you know, buy a condo and say, this is an investment in my marriage. It kept our marriage together instead of divorcing.
Mm, interesting. Well, I've learned a lot. Thank you, Vicky, for joining us. If listeners want to get a copy of your book, it's called Latitude, How You Can Make a Live Apart Together Relationship Work. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Vicky Larson, who we've been chatting with today. Vicky, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Hannah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the conversation.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.